Today on Real Radio.
You're living for Jesus, and those who are lost want what you have. And those who want to stay lost think you stink. And they hate you. And people ask them, why do you hate them or him so much? I don't know, I just hate them. It's Jesus they hate.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues in his series through Paul's second New Testament letter to the Corinthians. We've been looking at chapter 2 of 2 Corinthians, and in the last two paragraphs, verses 12 through 17, the Apostle Paul draws a clear distinction between true followers of Christ and those who spread false gospels or human philosophies, something actually quite common in Paul's day. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now, with more in his lesson called The Heart of the Gospel.
I think every step along the way was fueled by the joy that he had in Christ, who leads us in triumph in Christ. This is, of course, the word used for the Roman triumphal procession. This is what we talked about before at the end of 1 Corinthians, and that is the procession that is of the Roman general, of the Roman Empire. Remember this. If that general was engaged in a battle that conquered land, advanced the kingdom, and he had a minimum of 5,000 captives that could be paraded back to Rome, then the Senate declared a triumphal entry. That's what it was called. And when the general came into town, into Rome, a great entourage was there. Members of Senate, the priests of the various gods. By the way, they had various incense censers being swayed. They would move them back and forth. And that's aroma, that beautiful aroma would permeate the streets. And by the way, that procession would eventually end at the Circus Maximus in the Colosseum. And those 5,000 captives were let loose in the Colosseum before wild animals and gladiators. And Rome cheered. And it was a tremendous, victorious event, the triumphal entry of a general. And Paul uses that word. There's no mistaking it. He could have used a different word. Paul is saying, listen, I thank God who always leads us in the triumphal procession to victory. And that is a tremendous picture he paints. It's an assured victory. Remember a moment ago you raised your hands? Christian, God has promised you an assured victory. There are Christians in this church right now that are fighting legal issues or financial issues or health issues or life issues. They're on the brink. They're on the edge of eternity. No matter what the situation is right now, the victory's in Christ. All those things will evaporate. But never will the victory that is afforded in Christ evaporate. And listen to this. Even in battle, the Bible says no weapon formed against us will prosper. I told you, I think last week or whenever it was, we took our granddaughter to Disneyland. She's 2.5 years old, her favorite ride. You know what her favorite ride is? It's not Pinocchio. It's not Dumbo. It's not Casey Jr. It's none of that stuff that I like. Her favorite ride at 2.5 years old, it is this. Before we even get to Disneyland, she's in her car seat saying, pirate boats. Pirate boats, pirate boats, pirate boats. We parked the car, pirate boats, pirate boats. And it just builds up within her, pirate boats. And she starts 2.5. She's getting like, pirate boats, pirate boats. We're going, we are going, okay? You know what she does? 2.5 years old. We get seated in the boat at Pirates of the Caribbean boat. We just sit down and we're going through the bayou, you know? And her hands are like this. I'm not kidding, straight up. The whole ride, she's like this. And then she gets cute. She gets tired, and she winds up putting her hands down like this, and she goes like this. I'm not kidding. And you know when you enter into the harbor there, and Captain Barboza is pounding the shoreline, and boom, and the water's splashing, and the cannon fire's going, and the bucklers, their swords are clanging, and Johnny Depp is hiding in the can, and all that stuff's going on, right? You know what? How many times, I don't know, how many times have I been on that ride since I was a kid? I can't tell. I can't answer that. But guess what? None of our boats have ever sunk. Well, you laugh because that's silly, huh? I've never been hit by any shrapnel or a cannonball. No pirate has even gotten any closer to me than he did 30 or 40 years ago. So what's going on? Christ leads us victoriously through. All this stuff going around us in life. Boom, this emotion. Boom, this financial thing. Boom, this death. Boom, this thing. And Jesus leads you through. He promises. Now, for those of you who have not gone through anything, it's purely academic. Take notes. Write this down. Remind yourself of this message. You're going to want to download it someday when you go into your Pirates of the Caribbean experience and the bombs are going off and there's all kinds of scary people around you, and you'll go right through because he leads us victoriously through. All of them. He's so faithful. It's assured, which brings us joy. And that's a great thing. You can go through that stuff and laugh at it because you have the joy of the Lord. Colossians 2:13 says, and you being dead, listen to this. And you being dead. Stop right there. Dead men tell no tales, right? It reminded me when we were, Lisa and I, we were in the college and career group in the 70s at Calvary Costa Mesa. And I wrote down what I could remember, but there's a whole song of this. And Christians used to sing it on the Pirates of the Caribbean ride. It's Yo-ho, yo-ho, a Christian life for me. I like to pray. I like to worship all day. A Christian life for me. And it goes on and on. And in Colossians 2:13, it says, and you being dead in your trespasses. Man, that sounds scary. No, not at all. Dead. Listen, before we met Jesus, we were dead in our sins. This is important. We looked like we were alive, but we were spiritually dead. And our trespasses and the uncircumcision of our flesh, he, Christ, has made us alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Verse 14, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us. Wow. Which was contrary to us. You know what that means? All the stuff you and I did bad and sinned against God's commands were reporting constantly to God every day of our life. Jack did this, Jack did that, Jack violated this, Jack violated that, and it's all true. I was condemned before I ever got to court. I was busted before God's agent ever showed up. It's contrary to us. And he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. Having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them. Triumphing, there's the word, over them in it. That is awesome news. We also have this. It's not only the joy, but ministry. We have an assured ministry as Christians. That's why you raise your hands at the beginning. We're Christians. It says in verse 14. Now, this is where it gets heavy. Verse 14 to 17. This is amazing. Hang on to your seats. He says, and through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. This is a word picture of the Old Testament. The Christian, watch this, diffuses. Remember the censer I said that the priest of the Roman processionals walking down the street and all the beautiful aroma coming out? It was a beautiful aroma. Okay? And here Paul is now tying it together, that action, in light of the Old Testament offerings of God's worship, where you bring an animal, present it, and it's consumed on the barbecue of God, really. The Lord smells that sweet aroma of that barbecued lamb or that barbecued oxen or cattle. And God is smelling that, and it pleases God, the Bible says. And we're pleased because our offering is connected with that. And think about it. It's God taking that smell in, and God saying, yes. And we rejoice down here before the altar saying, all right, God accepted the offering. Why? Because it was not only offered from a true heart of worship, but it had cost the life of an innocent animal, and our guilt was placed upon the innocence of that animal. That animal's innocence was transferred to our guilt, and God accepted this offering. And Paul wants the reader, he wants the Corinthian believers to know that picture. They were Gentiles. It was foreign to them. But just to make certain, he shows them the Roman processional of triumph. And he says this is diffused as the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. Christians are to emanate an aroma everywhere they go by how we speak, what we say, what we do. A lot of Christians today, I hear about it, especially among young people. It's ridiculous. They want to be Christians and have all of the freedoms that the world is having. Well, we're Christians, but we can fornicate. We're Christians, but we can have adultery. We're Christians, but we can get drunk. We're Christians, but we can... And they're fooling themselves. Listen, here's the deal. Those things are nothing in and of themselves. You're a Christian. Those things have been put away with your dead life. Don't tell me that you're free to do those things. I'm free not to do those things. Well, how far can I go with this? Why go there? Be free in Christ. Well, I want to be free in Christ. I want to be able to sin like the world and go to heaven too. That's not freedom. That's bondage and deception. Be free. Well, how am I freed? By presenting yourself an offering to God. Exactly what Romans chapter 12 talks about. Our ministry to God is quite amazing. Listen, I am not asking you to sign up for the parking lot ministry. I'm not asking you to sign up for children's ministry. I'm not asking you to sign up to be a missionary. I'm not asking you to do any of that stuff. I would never do that. I want God to call you to those things if that's what he's calling you to do. Listen, you know what your ministry is? This I will call you to. Worshiping God. Romans 12:1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world. See that? But be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Ministry assured. Christian, if you are a worshiper, you will be presenting to God an acceptable sacrifice. And let me tell you, as you burn on the altar of God in your day-to-day Christian life, people around you will begin to smell it. The fragrance of his knowledge we diffuse in every place. Have you ever shaken someone's hand or hugged somebody that's got too much perfume or cologne and you take it home with you? Or you had your cologne on and then you hugged them and their cologne completely, your cologne just bowed to their cologne. I have to confess, I have to do that on Sundays. I take cologne and I put it on Sundays and Lisa goes, "You have too much on." And I tell her, "Look, I haven't even gotten the first service yet." I said, "By the time third comes along, it's so worn out, Lisa, I border on stink." So I start off strong at first, just right at second. Third, I think you might need some more cologne. But if I encounter somebody, because I manage my aroma, if I encounter someone who is like, has too much Old Spice on, it's like, oh, doggone it. Oh, man, I know by third I'm going to stink. My impact has been lost on someone else's offering. As a Christian, we are to maintain that aroma. And when we don't stay in that place of the Lord perfuming us, we begin to stink in our attitude. We begin to stink with our words. We begin to stink with our witness, right? Okay, very important. The Bible says in Ephesians 5, verse 1, therefore, be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. Man, what comes to my mind is Saturday, September 6th, 1997. Anybody know what happened on that day? Well, Lisa and I will never forget it for this reason. It was a Saturday, September 6th, 1997. Say, how can you remember that day? Because I landed en route to Russia at London Heathrow, had a layover, got on the tube from Heathrow to downtown London, came up at the Kensington High Street station, tube stop, to a barricade of people. Saturday, September 6, 1997. The sun was shining in London, which is a rarity. Came up out of the tube, stepped out onto the street, massive crowd of people. The first thing that hit you was the smell of flowers all over the streets of London. It was the processional of the funeral of Princess Diana. Lisa and I could have never, we couldn't have planned it any more perfect. And yet I can see, I saw her casket, I saw the carriage, all that stuff. That's not what I remember the most, though. Vividly was the smell in one of the biggest metropolises in the world was the smell of flowers. I believe a Christian has that effect when we walk in the Spirit, wherever we go. People may not smell with their nose, but they're gonna smell with their spirit. Something's going on. I want to be near them. I want what they have. And Paul, as a minister of the gospel of God, I want to be like Paul. Also, this church, mark this and we'll begin to wrap this up here. Look at closing point, third point, verses 16 to 17. The heart of the gospel is the guaranteed results through Christ. Jesus does it. And this is powerful stuff. He says in verse 15 and 16 that there's a guaranteed effect when we proclaim the gospel and walk with God. He says, for we are to God, this is good news, we are to God the fragrance of Christ. Mark it down. Be encouraged. No, I think I stink. God says, you smell like Jesus to me. And among those who are being saved, and among those who are perishing, you smell like Jesus to me. I think I smell Jesus on you. Watch this. This is awesome. A guaranteed effect if you live for Jesus, if you live for Christ. And church, listen up. Do I have your attention? We're almost done. Do I have your attention? We're living this right now in our world. And what I'm going to say right now is not based upon what I'm telling you. It's biblical, 100% Bible. What I'm telling you right now is going to intensify. Are you ready? Here it is. The more you live for Jesus, the more you will be a sweet-smelling aroma to those who are longing for salvation and hope and the gospel. Listen, the more you are that effective in people's lives, the more you will stink in the nostrils of those that are going to hell and perishing. Amen. They will hate you. You don't even do anything to them. You just lived for Jesus. Are you getting this, church? You're living for Jesus, and those who are lost want what you have. And those who want to stay lost think you stink. And they hate you. And people ask them, why do you hate them or him so much? I don't know, I just hate them. It's Jesus they hate. And you need, listen, to decide today in your life as a Christian to be so loving and so caring and so forgiving and so gracious and so representative of the nature of God, because he's willing to do this in and through your life, that those who are perishing will say, oh my goodness, this is an oasis of aroma. Tell me again the things of Jesus. And right across the table from them will be a person who will say, that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. And you need to pick who you want to please. The aroma is through Christ. It's all about Christ. It's not our message. That's good news, huh? 2 Corinthians 6, verse 1 says this. I'll read it fast. 2 Corinthians 6, 1 says, so we then, as workers together with him, also plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, in acceptable time I have heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Wow. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 3. Listen to this. That's the good news. Listen to this. And even if our gospel is veiled, if people don't get it, it is veiled to those who are perishing. They think it stinks. In their case, the god of this world, Satan, has blinded their minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel and the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For what we proclaim is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord. Man, if somebody is not getting the gospel, the Bible says Satan, who's running around this globe, has blinded them and they think it stinks. Listen, we're to give the gospel. The outcome is up to God. Oh, I don't want to share Jesus. I might be rejected. Share! You being rejected or not, listen, has nothing to do with you giving out the message. We are mandated to give it. The results, listen, are not ours. We are to obey. The results, listen, are solely based upon, listen, God and the person who accepts or the person who rejects. Verse 16 tells us that there's a guaranteed acceptance. And to the other, the aroma of life leading to life. To those who want to be saved, the gospel is attractive to them. Verse 17, a guaranteed end. Who is sufficient for these things? Can you mark that, please? I'll end in the closing with this. Who's sufficient for these things? For we are not so as many peddling the word of God, but as sincerity, but as from God we speak in the sight of God and Christ. What is he saying? He's saying this. This is awesome. Who's sufficient for these things? Paul is saying, what human being as a believer is sufficient to preach the gospel, and the result is some people go to heaven and some people go to hell? That eternal division comes out of the mouth of a mere human. And Paul says, who's sufficient for these things? Isn't that an awesome statement? Which one of us qualify to speak to someone, and once we deposit upon them the news of eternal life, that if they reject it or accept it based upon what we presented to them, they wind up in the presence of God forever or not forever? And Paul says, who's worthy to do this? Answer, nobody. It's not us. It's the message. Jesus Christ died and rose again from the grave. He's your Savior and your Lord. And there's no heaven without him. He is the way, the truth, and the life, and no man can come to the Father but through him. Do you believe that? If you don't believe that, that stinks, and you're angry, and that's narrow, and who made up that rule? And I don't like it. It's because Christ stinks. The gospel stinks in your nostrils. But to those of us who are being saved, oh, can you say it again?
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called The Heart of the Gospel. It's a lesson that looks at the last two paragraphs, verses 12 through 17 of chapter 2. The Heart of the Gospel. It's part of Pastor Jack's fascinating verse-by-verse look at Paul's second New Testament letter to the Church of Corinth. And we'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, we just wrapped up a multi-part series taken from Pastor Jack's lessons through 2 Corinthians. It's called Say You're Sorry. It's a look at what Paul had to say in chapter 2 about everything from grace and forgiveness to proper church discipline and restoration of those who repent. It's really a biblical treatment on confronting sin, steps to forgiveness, and the building up and strengthening of other believers. Well, many Real Radio listeners have gotten in touch and asked about this series, so we decided to make it available for you in a 3-DVD set. It's got a simple title, Forgiveness. And it's all yours for your gift of any amount to this broadcast outreach known as Real Radio. Now, whether you call, click, or write, ask for it by name, Forgiveness. Again, for your gift of any amount to this broadcast outreach known as Real Radio, we'll send you Pastor Jack's 3-DVD series called Forgiveness. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. You could also call us toll-free 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Or for the cost of a stamp, write to us and ask for it by name, Forgiveness. Our mailing address, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Of course, all of our contact info can always be found at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.